been a week. Tell me, how is everything? Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art, art,
art. Oh my, why am I King Kiki Toy? And welcome to Kick Arts. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can find and download at planetaudio.org.nz or on Spotify. On tonight's show, we're talking theatre and productions happening here in Tamaki Makaurau and in Tohunga, Queenstown. But to kick things off, on the last day of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, here is Stan Walker with Māori Ki Te Ao. He just makes me feel so uplifted with his singing. So thank you for a great way to start the show. It's a little bit different this week, as actually Stephen and I are both out of town for Mahi. So he is in Tauranga still with Jersey Boys, which I happened to catch this week, and I happened to catch it on an alternate night. And wow, it was so amazing to see what they did. And I almost wish I'd had the time to stay and watch another show so I could see the other cast. But Stephen, thank you so much for your mahi down there. I can't lie. I can't wait for you to be back in the studio to have some company. But it's also fantastic to see you doing what you love around the motu. And I'm kind of holding my breath to find out where you are going to be next. So tonight's show, we are interviewing with, oh, actually, before we go on, I didn't say where I am. So I am actually in Tahuna, Queenstown, because tomorrow, Monday, we start our Show in a Week program of Sister Act. And actually quite timely, because I managed to catch up with our choreographer, Meg. Well, now I'm joined all the way from Brisbane, someone that's been on the show before, but not for a little while. So welcome back to Kick Arts, Meg. How are you?
I am brilliant. It's very warm in Brisbane, but I'm very excited. Happy to be here.
Great. So you're being interviewed because you're coming home to Aotearoa. So tell us a little bit about what you're coming home for.
I am. I'm super excited about it. I am going to be choreographing and assistant directing Sister Act Junior in Queenstown for the Stage Antics Show in a Week program, which I've done as, or something similar as a participant. I did one of the very first pilot programs that ever happened in New Zealand, but I've never been on the other side of it, which is super exciting. So Sister Act, I saw on tour when it was here with Casey Donovan, but that was all I knew about the show. And so the last couple of months, I've kind of been doing all my research and choreographing just so everything's all prepared when we get down there next week.
Yeah, so the Show in a Week program is exactly that. So literally the kids show up on Monday and we audition them. And then we have a week to put the show on before they perform three public performances at the end of next week in Queenstown. So what do you think one of the biggest challenges is going to be for you?
I think it's going to be getting everything up on its feet quickly enough. Obviously, I've never met these kids. I'm sure they're all lovely and I'm very excited to meet them. But obviously, I don't know the best ways they work. I don't know what their skill sets are and things like that. So I think it's going to be, while I've prepared all I can, I think it's going to be a lot of thinking on my feet to make sure everything looks really good before it goes up on stage.
Yeah. It's always a little bit nerve-wracking, that first day going, is there going to be enough parts? Are we going to be able to cast? You know, at least when you've got a term or a few months, if someone's not there on the first day, you can go and find someone. But with this, you've got to make work what is in front of you.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be good. From the sounds of things, we've got a lot of very keen kids. So hopefully we'll be able to assign everything as it needs to be and only have very limited quick changes for all involved.
Very cool. So tell our listeners then a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing the last couple of years.
Oh, it's been busy. So I moved over to Brisbane to study at the Queensland Conservatorium, which is now known as the Queensland Academy of Excellence in Musical Theatre. And so I graduated at the end of 2023 with my Bachelor of Musical Theatre. And since then, it's been diving headfirst into the Australian musical theatre industry. When I left uni, they basically told us, they were like, your job now is to audition. And that's been exactly what it's been. I was very lucky to get an agent straight out of uni, which has been super helpful in obtaining briefs and auditioning for things. They've been super supportive they've been super supportive in my auditioning and things like that, and helping me with all that side of things, especially because the admin itself can be very nerve-wracking. I didn't realize, but there's lots of different casting sites and programs that they utilize within that area of the industry, and you've obviously got to be signed up for them all and do all that sort of thing. I currently work for Bluey, which is super, super fun. They've got a big purpose-built, they've done a big replica of Bluey's house, and there's like a 50-minute interactive live show that goes through there. And so I do I'm a gnome swing and a host gardener at Bluey's World. And so they run shows from Tuesday through Sunday. They're every 10 minutes, super interactive. They get to meet Bluey and Bingo, obviously, at the end of the show as well, which is super cute. And that's been such a beautiful and rewarding experience, but also super challenging. There's a script, but obviously kids are unpredictable, especially young ones. So you never know what's really going to come out of their mouths. I also tried my hand at puppeteering for the first time with Bluey, which there's obviously the, if you're familiar with the show, there's the Unicorse puppet that Bandit uses. And so he's in the show as well. And so I got to learn how to do some puppeteering, which was super cool. And there's like 200 actors within Bluey's World, so I've made heaps of new friends that way as well. I'm currently in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which is also happening in Auckland at the minute, which is super fun. And so it's been really fun seeing all the parallels. We're opening at the about middle of October, so we're not quite as far along as Priscilla in Auckland is yet, but Emma Rose and I had that moment the other day. We were both like, oh, because I'm playing Marion, who's Tech's estranged wife and Benji's mum. And we had that moment. We were both, oh, we're both doing the same thing. That's so fun. So that was super cute. And apart from that, it's you know, working your survival jobs at the same time. It's auditioning for things and then having the gigs when they come up. So it's been a really, I guess, living the dream, I suppose. You know, this is absolutely what I signed up for, and it's been awesome to be actually out there in the world and kind of doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, just hearing you talking about Bluey's World, I mean, for you, that's almost, well, not, I was going to say full circle, but that's probably not the right thing, because of course, when you were a teenager here in Tamaki Makaurau, you were an actor with Rainbow's End, working with the Rainbow's End characters, doing a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, so I think my heart really does lie in children's entertainment and in youth theatre spaces. And so I hadn't done anything sort of similar to Rainbow's End, you know, since I was there, obviously because I was at uni and doing all that sort of thing. And so my first show day when I actually debuted and, you know, seeing all the kids, you know, laughing and you know, happy to be there and just, you know, interacting with the gnomes in such a childlike manner and how, I guess the right word, like how focused they are on play is really, really lovely. And it's something you don't see very often. There was even just the other day, there's this beautiful sequence near the end of the show where they've got this big dome and they project like stars and stuff onto the top of it. But there's a sequence, of one of the episodes of Bluey called, I think it's called Sleepy Time. Or bedtimes, I think it's sleepy time, where Bingo's like lost her favorite toy. And there's, you see all these soft toy bunnies flying around, and Bingo eventually finds hers, and it's really lovely and like happy ending sort of thing. But I had this child who couldn't have been older than like 4 or 5, and she sat there, and I was crying because the gnome was sad because Bingo had lost her toy, and she like was patting my hand really, really quite lovingly and was like, it's okay. We're all allowed to be sad sometimes. And she was like explaining what was happening about, and it was just, I just about cried. Like I was barely holding it together. Cause I was like, this is so amazing that they're seeing the world for the first time. And you know, you get to kind of be a part of that, which is really lovely.
That is really cool. So now, it's kind of that time of the year where a lot of people here in Aotearoa, of course, are thinking about applying for or are applying for studies and courses and things. If there was something that you wish you knew that you know now that you think they should know, does that make sense?
Wow. Yes, no, absolutely. Sing your favourite song for your audition. Sing the song you love singing. Make sure you're performing pieces that you love first and foremost, because at the end of the day, they are the ones that will serve you the most. I think I spent, especially my first year of uni, I spent so long going, okay, what do they want to hear? You know, what do I think they want to hear? But it wasn't until like, halfway through second year and then into my third year when I started really going, okay, well, no, I'm going to sing this song because I like it. And it suits my voice, but first and foremost, I really like it and I enjoy singing it. And I found that those pieces and those songs were the ones that got me the furthest kind of in what I was doing and were the most, were the most, I guess, fulfilling as well for me. So, yeah, for anything that you're going into in terms of auditions, make sure you really enjoy the music that you're singing, because that shows through more than anything.
Awesome. And now I'm going to ask you to give a piece of advice for someone that's maybe joining us this week in the show in a week. Given okay. that you've been in that kind of, like you said, when you were a teenager, you did the pilot the experience where the casting was straight up and things like that. Mm-hmm. What's a piece of advice that you might give a student that's coming into? Because we've got the pilot program coming up, and actually that's only 5 weeks away until this year's pilot. Whoa! So what's a piece of advice that you might give to a young performer?
Stay present. It moves so quickly. Stay present. Stay disciplined as well. You haven't got much time to do it. And, of course, it's a brand new work as well. You know, having your listening ears turned on and being ready to move and being ready to give offers as well, because half the time I've found in my experience working with creatives now, they're very open to hearing your ideas and what you have to offer as well. So be prepared and come in with offers or make bold offers. And be present. That's what I would say.
Very cool. So what's the thing you're looking forward to the most about next week coming back to Queenstown?
I think meeting everyone. It's going to be really exciting, a completely different group of people, none of whom I've met before, which is always really exciting. I'm really looking forward to being in a creative team for the first time. I've never done that, so that's really exciting. And I love the music in this show. Choreographing it has been so much fun because it's just so silly. And the concept of, disco dancing nuns is just really appealing to me. So it's been so fun choreographing this show. So I'm really excited to teach it to everybody as well.
And, I mean, you said, because we've got a Facebook group, we've been communicating a little bit with them via Facebook. And you said that the last time you were in Queenstown, you were like 7 or 8.
Yeah, I've never been the only thing I remember from the last time as I was there was that we did the luge. Like we went up and I think there was like a gondola thing that you went up to get to the top of the mountain. That is literally all I can remember. So I'm excited to actually see Queenstown and hopefully memorize more of it.
Fabulous. Well, next week we will be raising our voice a lot and celebrating all things. And it's really exciting because for our listeners to know that this is actually the New Zealand premiere of Sister Act Junior.
So, oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So Stage Antics piloted it 4 summers ago in Nelson. And now this is the first time that Sister Act Junior is actually being done in New Zealand. So it's really exciting. And I have the pleasure of directing it. And for me, it's also exciting to have you back, Meg, as a Stage Antics alumni and to be able to, I think the most exciting thing for me is being able to give back to someone like yourself who, like you said, this is your first chance stepping into the other side. So it is a full circle thing to have had you as a student and now to have you as a colleague. So I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you this week. So listeners, if you are anywhere down in this Central Otago Ways, there are going to be 45 amazing kids working their butts off this week who would love an audience Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that's the 26th and the 27th at Memorial Hall in Queenstown. And you can get tickets from iticket.co.nz. And come along and make sure you say hello to Meg. Maybe bring your favourite Bluey and show her that you listened or something, Actually, maybe if you send Kick Arts a picture of your Bluey and tag it Meg, we've got some tickets to give away for Sister Act. So ooh, we want a photo of something to do with Bluey. It could be any of the characters, I reckon. What do you reckon, Meg? Any characters?
Oh, yeah, any of them. I, in particular, love, I think Bingo's my favourite, but I am impartial to Bluey as well.
So send us a photo of your favorite thing about Bluey and tag Meg, or just put Meg, I should say, and you'll be in the draw for, let's make it a family pass. So 4 tickets to a show of your choice down in Queenstown. And I'll those details up on our Kick Arts Facebook and Instagram as well, so you know about the competition. But all the best for the flight across. When do you fly across?
I'm flying in, it's going to be a quick turnaround. I fly in Saturday night.
Saturday night, and then we fly out Sunday morning to fly down to Queenstown. So we'll catch up with you, with listeners. I'll be on next week, and we'll let you know how it's gone.
Perfect.
Goodbye, Curtis Jackson. I don't need your club. I don't need your woofer. And I don't need you. Look at my style. Could it be more?
We had to finish our interview with a track from Sister Act Junior, and that was Fabulous Baby. Well, now I'm joined by two of the company from The Atom Room, which is the Dolphins' next production. So we love Dolphin Theatre, as you guys all know. If they're not sponsoring us, they're sending us plenty of guests, or they're treating us to Tuesday treats, or letting us spin a wheel on Wednesday. If all our listeners know, guys, that I love Tuesdays and Wednesdays at the Dolphin. I think it's like the night to go. But anyway, first up, we've got Holly. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
So,
how are you going?
Great. Tell us, first of all, Holly, what is your part in this production?
Well, I'm playing Sarah. And Sarah is a engineer. She specializes in geomatics. So she's a bit of a space nerd. And she is currently, well, throughout the play, she's in a relationship with Danny. And she is also being offered this once-in-a-lifetime job position to go up to Mars and do spatial engineering up there. This is set in the future. And she has to make a call between staying on Earth with Danny, her partner, or heading up to space to follow her dream career. That's a little bit about Sarah.
Cool. And we've also got joining us Richard. Kia ora.
Kia ora. I presume you want the same sort of thing from
me. Yeah, tell us about what your part in the show is.
Yes, I play the aforementioned Danny. A keen environmentalist who, gets left behind on Earth. And so, the play is sort of a very long distance, romance, drama, love story, between our two characters.
And who is it written by?
It's written by a guy called Philip Braithwaite. And this is actually the Auckland premiere of it. It's a Kiwi play, and this is the second ever production of it after the Wellington debut in 2018.
Cool. So I wonder if the writer has any, like, does he stay in touch with productions if he's a New Zealand writer? Because you know how sometimes you put on a New Zealand play and gosh darn it, Roger Hall, he is in your audience. Like, is your writer going to appear in the audience, do you think?
We believe he's now located in England, and so I think we're...
might be a bit far.
You know, not out of the realm of possibility, but yeah. Hopefully the word of mouth is so good that it spreads that far.
Well, I was going to say maybe because this is about space travel. I mean, maybe he's a writer, but it's also a bit of an engineer and could come up with a bit of a quick time travel thing and could send himself back to Aotearoa or something.
Mm. Yeah, you think.
So, Richard, this is not your first time with the Dolphin?
No. So I was in a couple of shows last year. Earlier in the year, I was in Clue. I played Professor Plum. And then in the latter half of the year, I was in the production of Proof, where I played Hal. And then earlier this year, I directed one of the four scenes in London Suite, which was the one-act thing. So it's an anthology play connected by being set in the same hotel room, but it's four disconnected stories. Thank you.
It was a great show.
Well, so I directed one of those, and then it was nice to be able to, you know, finish that, because it was basically we had pack out for London Suite, and then that afternoon was the table read for Adam Room, so it was like rolling straight into it, which was good.
And there's a couple of people that were in London Suite that are in Adam Room, right? Because you've got Trudy.
Yeah, and so, yeah, other than Trudy, you've got Trudy and then me and Holly, and that's the entire cast of the play. So it's good to re-team with Trudy because, yeah, so she was in London Suite in the scene that I directed, and so it's nice to actually be able to share the stage with her after sort of bonding over the period of time during London Suite.
So because you've been with Dolphin before, give me... this will be tricky, or maybe not. Give me three adjectives that describe Dolphin Theatre.
It's not an adjective, but I think the, like, community is, like, well, because it's a community theatre, so I guess it's an adjective in that sense. But, like, I feel, like, taken care of in the community sense, and that, like, you know, Mike Daly, who's the president of the theatre, is, like, super, super warm and welcoming with, you know, any kind of feedback and any kind of help that he can offer. So that's definitely one. Other adjectives, I would say, I don't know that, like, daring is the right word, but I think that there's, like, a lot of theatres can play it very safe. And, you know, you can run a theatre and just put on, no disrespect to these people, but like Agatha Christie and Roger Hall, and just alternate those and you would sell amazingly and stay open forever. But putting on something with a smaller cast like Adam Room, like Proof, these dramas that are, aren't the same sort of guaranteed blockbusters. I really respect that they are willing to do things like that, and that I'm lucky enough to have been part of two of them. And then my third one, I'm just going to say fun.
Fantastic. Now, Holly, this is your first time with Dolphin. So would you agree with all of those things? And is there anything that you would say differently?
Yeah, I would agree with all of those things. I guess I would double down on the risk, or I'd use the word risk, with trying a new script, a new vibe for a community show. I think that that's a really awesome advantage of the Adam Room and Dolphin Theatre taking the risk to do something like that, and something that I would hope that we could see more of and have more accessibility to as audience members or patrons of the theatre in Auckland.
What was it that made you audition for was it the Dolphin or was it the play? What was it that drew you to this?
It was a mix. So I am a fan of Daly's work as well. I saw Proof and also The Country House. I think that was maybe like 2021, a wee while back. And I loved everything about both of those scripts and the set design when I went and watched it. Both things drew me in a lot, and I just found Dolphin Theatre very charming from the get-go of that. And then I saw the auditions for The Adam Room, and I read the play first, and I was like, wow, this is cool. This is very, yeah, different from Agatha Christie or Roger Hall, and something that I would like to throw my hat in the ring for.
Fantastic. So obviously you've done plays before. Tell us a little bit about you and what you've done.
I have done plays before. However, most of my theatre work has been a mix of school tours. I did something called the Duffy National School Tour last year, Duffy Books and Homes. It was a year-long contract touring around New Zealand. And that was my first sort of full-time contracted theatre gig. Prior to that, I was doing a lot more screen work, which was awesome as well. But I also went over to Melbourne in 2023 to do some theatre studies, which was really fun. I did a program called The American Way, and we basically just studied a lot of like iconic American plays and theatre shows. And we worked on those for about 3 months, which was super fun. And then off the bat of that, I kind of caught the bug, went into the touring job, and then have found myself dipping into The Adam Room at Dolphin Theatre.
Fantastic. And what about you, Richard? What drew you into this? I mean, I know you said that you've done stuff at Dolphin and that before, but what was it about this play, or what made you go, actually, I could do something else this year?
There's two answers, really. One is timing, and just that it was like, I wanted to act again this year, and this play fell in the right slot, had a character that was roughly my age. So there are practical considerations, but I knew at the end of last year, I found out they were doing The Adam Room, heard about, sort of got the log line of the play, was interested in it, and read the script late last year, and sort of, and had been, you know, I didn't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but it was one that I was like quite excited for, because it's so different, and it's also like, it is like a really, even though it has these fantastical sci-fi elements, and I think that like the staging of it is going to be like nothing we've ever really seen at the Dolphin before. But aside from that, it's actually like a really sort of meaty, complicated character piece that just happens to have this in the background. And so it is like the mix of, it's fun to play with futuristic props on a futuristic set, but also the challenge that it gives you as an actor.
Fantastic. So who is doing the set?
Our director, Blair Perkis, is, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, he's like the right kind of nerd to be tackling a production like this, because, he's really gotten into the world building of everything. And we've got like our regular, you know, incredible set building team and everything. We've got like amazing props and costume people as well. And, like, all these things are, and also like for me and Holly as well, like these things are just starting to come together as we sort of, when we're recording this, we're about, you know, just over 2 weeks out, and we're just, these final sort of things are really starting to fall into place, which is really exciting. But yeah, there's sort of all of the like logical consistencies of the world and stuff. A lot of it's in the script, but a lot of it is like, I think, Blair's natural penchant for world building. Which, you know, he does in his personal life, as well as bringing it to the Dolphin stage.
Fantastic. So we're just going to pause the interview there for a little music break. And Kiwi artist Colette Rivers has dropped an album, The Backyard Wonder. This is such a cool vibey, acoustic-y, folky, indie. Just love her sound. So I thought we'd play you Sit Like Glass.
Picking off the dredges of my dreams, walking on edges.
Nicholson. Now, back to Holly and Richard in the Atom Room.
Holly, thinking about this play, what would you hope that the audience is saying after it? What are they going to get out of it, do you think?
I hope that it leaves people questioning. Like, just a big question mark would be awesome. I think that it's the sort of play and the writing, the way that it's written is something that you read or see and just makes you think, makes you go, oh, wow, what would that actually be like? How would I actually feel about that if that happened to me? Could this actually happen? What would the world be like if it was like this? So I hope that it just leaves people with lots of questions. Could be my answer.
Cool, fantastic. Are you a theatre goer that likes, like, what's your favourite kind of feeling post-show? Like, what I mean by that is I'm someone that I love it actually when I walk out of a show kind of going, what was that? And I need to process it and I'm still thinking about it the next day. If I'm still thinking about it the next day, that usually means it was a really good show. But I also do love the candy floss shows, which are just all fun and glory, and you come out of it going, "Woo, that was a ride."
And then maybe you don't think
about it the next day. So what kind of a theatre goer are you? What do you
know? I'm very similar. Like, in my heart of hearts, I love a good deep questioning about everything and anything. So if I was going solo to a show, that's exactly what I would love and lap up. But my spirit really loves a good, just like either like a musical or just a fun fantastical drama that I know that if I took my mum to, she'd just have the time of her life and be like, that was so much fun. Like, I love how much shows like that bring people together and bring spirits together. So in a community sense, I love the Agatha Christie, I do. But, like, in a Holly sense, I enjoy something maybe a bit more, like, thought-provoking. I don't know what the right, correct words are to use, but, yeah.
Fair enough. Cool. What about you, Richard? What kind of theatre do you, like, what's your kind of go-to?
Yeah, I would say, like, the same sort of thing, that it's like you want something, and this is like with any media you consume, it's like you want to be, the real test is if you're thinking about it the next day. And the thing is, it's interesting because it's like with theatre especially, it's like asking big questions and, you know, these big swings. And so it's when it nails it, it's incredible. But I will be the first person to, like, trash something if it tries to do that and fails. That, like, I Yeah, I think I'm like I like I've just I've seen a few shows that have tried to do that and failed, and it's like when it doesn't work for me, I think there's like nothing more offensive than that.
So was doing London Suite, that was your first, was that your first shot at directing?
Officially on stage, yeah.
So
short films and yada yada throughout.
So now that you're kind of back acting, where mm-hmm. does your passion lie now? Are we still wanting to be on stage, or are you wanting to do more directing, or a bit of both?
Yeah, I'd say it's a bit of both. I went to go see Red, that the Dolphin did the studio show a few weeks ago, which Mike Daly was in, and one of the actors I worked with in London Suite was sitting behind me and was like, oh, you must be looking at this thinking like, oh, I'd do it like this, I'd do it like this. And it made me think about like, I actually haven't been doing that. And like even in Adam Room, like I thought that going and switching that part of my brain so quickly would be like, you know, mind numbing, not being able to take control of it. But it's like, I was amazed at how quickly I was sort of able to shift and watching something like Red, that's like, yeah, there was no part of me that was thinking like, oh, they chose to do it like that. I was just fully immersed in it. And so, yeah, like I definitely do want to direct more. I had a great time doing it. But the interesting thing with directing, though, is that like the script has to speak to you like a lot, and I've read a lot of scripts over the last year or so, just like looking at, oh, you know, what appeals to me on the page, and you find out that like most scripts aren't very good. Like, and the fact that like when you see, and when it's your job to, when you're actually trawling through like not just the heavy hitters or like the ones that just, you know, the sheer number of scripts that are pumped out every year, it's like, yeah, a lot of them are either going to be not great or it's certainly not for me. And also the thing is, some don't jump off the page, and some do jump off the page but don't work on stage. And so there's a bunch of different things to consider. I don't want to sound like I'm just writing off an entire medium, but but it has been interesting to be reading scripts as well.
So similar question for you, Holly, but not about directing and acting, but you've had this experience of screen work and acting on stage. Is there a preference, or again, is it you're happy doing both?
I'm happy doing both. Firm answer. I really like doing both because I love the thrill and the risk of theatre work, which you don't get with screen because you can edit or change or have people go, hold on, we'll reshoot that. I love that I don't have that with theatre. It's just the adrenaline junkie in me is like, yeah, man, if we get it wrong, we got to fix it, like, you know, in real time. And that's fun to me. That's really like stretching the craft. And I think for me, that's what makes the acting fun, is trying to work those muscles and trying to go, okay, how can we recover this and still, you know, make sure that the audience is having a good time. That's the dream job. But screen is also, on the flip side, I think it draws out the side of me that, the perfectionist side of me that really enjoys going, oh, okay, if I could problem solve here on the spot and change things around so that in the future it looks different, that's a really exciting skill to get to use as well. So love both.
Fantastic. All right, so business end now. When is the show on, Richard?
All right, show is on from the 3rd to 18th of October. Tickets are on sale already, dolphintheatre.org.nz. And as you mentioned at the start, you know, we always love to promote that it's Tuesday treats. You get a drink and an ice cream with your price of admission. And then on Wednesday, yeah, there's a the spinning wheel where you can win some prizes if your number's drawn.
Very exciting. And of course, For anyone that's living under a rock and hasn't been to the Dolphin Theatre, it's a great little theatre. It's just down the road from the train station. So if you need public transport, getting to the Dolphin's really easy. Jump on and get off at Onehunga and it's just around the corner. There's great eateries around the corner, so make it a night out. Go and have dinner first. There's easy car parking. So, you know, what more can I say to glorify the Dolphin? It's one of our favourite places to go. And, of course, superb supporters of Kick Art, so we love the Dolphin. So thanks so much, Holly and Richard, for being here to discuss the Adam Room. We wish you all the best with your season and can't wait to see the show.
Beauty.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Emma.
And before we jump into some bulletins and our next interview, here is the latest track from Jessica Lee called A Lot Like You. It's time for a few bulletins from our inbox. And first up, Manawa Ora Ha takes over Q Loft. This is for a performance from Ngā Rangatahi Toi. And basically what it is it's a movement journey with movement, energy, ideas. They've been building together. And as part of the journey is always magic, watching the pieces click into place, seeing confidence grow, feeling the collective heartbeat of the rupu rise. Manawa Ora is about rangatahi voices, raw creativity, and the power of being seen. Now, they have recently been joined by Brooke and Stas, who are the O'Neill twins, and they are part of the creative team this year. And these two are pretty amazing R&B hip-hop artists, producers and choreographers who were born and raised here in Tamaki Makaurau. They've even danced with J-Lo on American Idol, and they've opened for artists like Sierra, Lloyd and Stan Walker, and directed shows in Sydney. So why they're involved in this is they want to see rangatahi thrive. It's their mission to help more rangatahi build confidence, develop their skill sets, and expand their knowledge in areas they're passionate about. And we all know how much rangatahi love to dance. So tickets for this are on sale at Q Theatre, and it is on from the 1st to the 3rd of October at 7 p.m. in the Q Loft. Check it out. That's Ngā Rangatahi Toi with Manawa Ora. Now, Stray Theatre Company have a production coming up called The Last Call, and it is written by one of their members, Ollie Vahi Bourne, directed by River Lancaster. And the says, tonight is the last night of the human race, maybe. Confronted by the possibilities that they may not exist tomorrow, a group of ordinary people living boring lives in a small generic town consider their relationships with themselves and each other. So the play follows an interconnected web of people across an office, a police station, and a suburban home. And the characters phone between the locations as they build and break down the relationships between them. This sounds pretty cool. So beneath it all is a fear that they will live to see tomorrow and have to deal with the consequences of their honesty. Goodness me. Now, this show is taking place at Pitt Street Theatre in Auckland CBD, and it is on from Wednesday the 24th through till Saturday the 27th. And tickets can be purchased at straytheatrecompany.com/tickets. So that is for Stray Theatre Company's next show, The Last Call. And also, Te Uru Waitakere Co, which is the contemporary gallery in Waitakere, that's Te Uru, has so much going on. They have some current exhibitions, including Fatima Buick, Sound of a Setting Sun, Anushka Ayuk, Ifs, and Campbell Patterson. So those are three exhibitions that are on. They have some amazing programs, and they have something for everyone. So there's engaging opportunities for every art enthusiast with scenic views of the surrounding landscape. Our purpose-built Akaranga Learning Centre is an inspired setting for learning and thinking about art. Now, they have after-school programs, they have adult day programs, and coming up next week, they have their holiday workshops. So that is running from the 22nd of September to the 3rd of October. It's $60 a day and runs from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. in the Learning Centre. So again, this is a fantastic place to go and look at art, get immersed in art. So it's Te Uru Waitakere Contemporary Arts. It's open daily from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and is free to go and check out. And it is in Titirangi at 420 Titirangi Road. So go and check that out. Now, remember, we love to promote, we love to talk anything arts, whether that be visual arts, whether that be movement arts, whether that be music, anything at all. But we need you to tell us what's going on because our eyes aren't everywhere. And remember, it's not just about Tamaki Makaurau. It's about the whole of Aotearoa. So get in touch with us. We are info@kickarts.org.nz or send us a DM through our socials. We want new music to play. We want to talk to you about your projects. Maybe you've only got an idea for a project. Get in touch with us so we can have a gossip.
Well, joining us now on Kick Arts are three of the team from I Spy, a hilarious spy pantomime for the whole family. Fantastic. So let's start off with Kia ora, Christine. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And thanks for having us on the show.
Of course.
Really excited to let everyone know about I Spy.
Great. So let's start off with you letting us know, because you are the writer of the book, of the script. So tell us a little bit about what is I Spy all about?
I Spy is about two rival spy organisations, one good and one bad. So the good spy organisation is called BARN, which is the Brave Association of Ridiculous Networks, led by Beth MacDonald and her two sidekicks, Mary Ferry and Baba. And then we have the baddies, the bad association, which is HARM, the Hateful Association of Russian Management, led by Humpty Dumpty and his very enthusiastic cheerleading dim-witted sidekick, Hickory Dickory.
Fantastic. This sounds great. All right, so we'll go to our next guest that's joined us, and that's Lysandra. So, Lysandra, tell us, who are you playing in this pantomime?
Well, I get to be the enthusiastic, dim-witted sidekick, Hickory Dickory.
Cool. Okay, and what did you think when you first read the script?
Oh, I thought it was very fun. I thought it's very, I love how interactive it is with the audience, because therefore it's a pantomime. I like each character and how they're all different from each other and have their own little personalities, which everyone brings to the character, which is cool.
Fantastic. And Acacia, who do you get to play?
So I play Beth MacDonald, who's the head of BARN. She's very strong-minded and likes taking charge of situations. She's got a good team behind her at BARN, so it's quite good. She's quite funny. And I'm also doing the choreography and the marketing for the show as well.
Amazing. Typical theatre show, right, where you end up doing more than just one gig.
Yeah, but I like it. It keeps me busy and it's always cool to see the final product come together as time goes on.
Definitely. Okay, so Christine, tell us, what are the kind of typical pantomime type things that we might expect in this show?
Well, first of all, the audience plays a big part in it. So there's a lot of yaying and there's a lot of booing. There's a lot of behind yous and chase scenes and comedy fight scenes. And we even have a pie in the face.
Oh, awesome. That's cool. Do you have a pantomime dame?
Yes, we do. That's Mary Ferry.
Fantastic. So this will be really good for, whilst it's good for the whole family, I can imagine a lot of grandparents who maybe pantomimes were part of a tradition, which I think is a little bit lost these days, quite sadly.
Yes, it is. That's why I wrote this as a pantomime, because I would like to reintroduce it. So, because I remember going as a child to pantos and really loving it. Mm. And it is a fun. And you don't have to sit in the audience and be really quiet and polite and well-behaved. You can actually talk to the characters and you can boo the baddies and cheer the goodies and just be part of it.
Fantastic. Now, Lysandra, tell us, is this your first, I know it's not your first production, but is this your first pantomime?
Yes, it is.
So how are you finding it? Are you finding it any different to a normal musical or play?
Definitely. As Christine said, you know, with the pantomimes, everyone's interacting, saying things, boos, yays, whereas in a normal musical, it's just silence. You get the, you know, the claps and the cheers, but nothing very, I guess, what is it? You very much have to do a lot of, not the word, gotta, on the spot, just gotta make it up on the spot times, gotta re-say lines as well because of so many boos and cheers. It's a new experience and I love it.
So you definitely need to read the audience. And I suppose what's exciting about that too is it means that each show, whilst it's totally scripted, may be a little bit different depending on how they react.
Of course, yeah.
So, Acacia, is this your first pantomime?
It's not my first pantomime being in one, and it's also not my first being on a creative team for one. So I've been doing pantomimes for a while now. Christine and I have worked together since I was a teenager. And from there, she kind of introduced me to pantomimes, and then it became a big part of my performing. So I've done quite a few of them now.
And what's your favorite part of a pantomime then?
I like the unknown because so many things can happen during a pantomime. You have your script, you have everything laid out for you, but there are so many things that can change due to audience interaction, and that just makes it more exciting, more fun. You get to play around with it a bit more. It's like having a recipe that you get to add your own twist into.
Cool. And when it comes to the choreography, Acacia, how many people are actually in the show?
There's six actors / actresses in the show. They're all different backgrounds of dancing. We've got some strong dancers. We've got some people who have knowledge of dance, but it's not their main focal point. A lot of the time they're more on the singing side and the acting side. But it's pretty cool because everyone's been bringing their own spin into the choreography that I've been doing, and it's looking really good. I quite like it.
So when it came to choreographing this particular show, because it's so, one, it's set in New Zealand as well. So what were some of the specific maybe things that you had to tap into or think about when it came to choreographing?
It's normally with pantomimes, I tend to go more for audience interaction choreography. Being that it's a New Zealand show, because we have such a wide diversity of people in New Zealand, and a lot of the characters come from different places and all live in New Zealand, it's really cool to take some inspiration from other places and bring it in, as well as inspiration from New Zealand culture and bring it in. So it's been a new challenge trying to find new ideas because I have been choreographing for so long, but it's definitely been an enjoyable time.
Fantastic. So Christine, tell us a little bit about the music in the show.
Oh, the music is definitely it's designed for each character. So each character's got a different musical style. For example, we've got a lovely Celtic ballad for Beth McDonald to sing.
Great.
It evolved like that. Whereas Hickory's, for example, her Lysandra's songs are very bright and bubbly. One is salsa based, the rhythm. So we've got different rhythms for the different characters. Right. And so it can definitely reflects where the character is in the actual show. The music is, the kids will want to hum along with it. It's really fun and really brings something special to the actual script.
And who was the music written by?
Ryan Douglas.
And have you worked with him before?
Yes, he's a working actor and voice over, and a lovely singer himself as well. Very talented. I know. I sat there and we were working with the music, and he would suddenly produce these songs, and it was like, wow, that's just absolutely perfect. And he also did the musical arrangements as well on the computer and did all the backing tracks.
Fantastic. So, I'm assuming this isn't your first foray into writing a production.
No, but for a while. Why I wrote this is that I actually went into heart failure last year, and I went and had open heart surgery. And when I was recovering, I suddenly thought, I've been given a second chance at life, and I want to go back to doing what I really love. And this storyline had been bubbling in my brain for about 2 to 3 years, and I just sat down and wrote it.
Cool. That's amazing. And what a amazing story to be able to come through something as traumatic or big as that and be on the other side and be able to leap into a new second chance. That's great. Lissandra, tell us a little bit about who do you think is the target audience for this one?
Yeah, the kiddies. Kindergarteners. The little ones. I mean, I think they'll enjoy it the most, again, because it's a pantomime and it's very interactive. You know, the little ones, it's hard for them to sit still and watch a show. So for them to be able to have their voices heard by the characters, it's like, oh, I'm actually doing something for the show. I'm actually helping out Mary by saying this, or I'm actually helping the good guys when I say, behind you, Hickory's there, or Humpty, you know? Like, I think it's pretty magical to have the kids, like, that age feel like they're a part of the show.
Mm. So what's been your biggest challenge in this production so far, Lissandra?
I think my biggest challenge would be expecting the unknown, like Acacia said. Just, it's going to be different every night with different kids. Some kids would actually say yay for when the bad guys come. And, you know, I've got to think on the spot as well. I have to ad-lib some bits. If someone says yay, I can't just freeze up. I'll be like, oh, cool, thank you. Someone's on my side. Or, you know, if someone's saying boo to the good guys, it's like, yeah, yeah, keep saying boo, guys. Like, this is good for us baddies, you know? So, just expecting the unexpected. It's been challenging, which is, it's good because in rehearsals, Christine would be doing a lot of the kid reactions, which has been really fun. And Acacia as well, doing a lot of the kid reactions. So really testing us what we would do in those moments.
Fantastic. So what we might do then is take a quick musical break. And when we come back, we're actually going to speak to all of you about your journeys through the arts and what's brought you to here today.
It's the curse of getting older. Every time I try to meet someone better, I start to feel the pressure, and it turns into never. I'm only having a good time when I turn off my mind, 'cause I can't deny when my head hits the pillow at night that I'm at my wit's end.
Emerson's latest track, Counting Sheep. Now, I do recommend that you jump on and check out her official video that goes with that. Instead of the lyrics being typed in like subtitles, she's got individually handwritten pages. Now, that must have taken a long time. And it looks like the video is done in one take with her turning the pages at the right time. So go check that out. Now, let's head back to our interview with the team from I Spy. Let's start with you, Acacia. You said that you've worked with Christine for a long time and that you've been choreographing for a while. But what? Let's go right back. When did the bug bite?
So my first ever time being on a stage was when I was 3 years old and I was in a dance competition. Dancing was my first passion. And then when I went to primary school, I joined the Kids for Drama at Blockhouse Bay Primary. And that became a huge part. I remember the first costume that I ever wore acting was a monkey costume, which had actually been one of my dance costumes. And that was a really, really fun time. And I think I fell in love with it from there on. I did a lot of acting through primary school, through intermediate, through high school. I was always in drama class. I was known as the drama kid. Choreography kind of came hand in hand with dancing. It became a big passion of mine because I am a dancer first and foremost. And then I think I was about 14, 15 when I met Christine. So Christine was actually my mum's singing teacher. And I walked into Playhouse Theatre, which was where I met Christine. And she called me by my mum's name, which was probably a bit of a shock to realize that it wasn't my mum. I'm her daughter. And then it kind of started from there where I worked with Christine. She got me choreographing some of the shows there. And that's where the choreography kind of kicked off. And then I opened my dance company, did that for a while, and then started going into doing more choreography for theatre shows, for TV and film, acting on TV and film. My whole life revolves around performing arts. So I currently work at Spookers. So every single weekend I act. Every single weekend I sing, every single weekend I do dancing, body movement, things like that. So it's always been a big part of my life.
Wow. Yeah. Looking at your actor's CV with your agent, it's pretty extensive, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a lot. And it's pretty cool because I've met so many people that have always helped me on my journey. And that's what I'm really grateful for. And Christine is a big one because she's always pushed me to try something different, to do new things. And I mean, I wouldn't be this heavily in theatre if it wasn't for her. So she played a big part in me wanting to do that with my career and my future.
That's so cool, isn't it, Christine, when you get your
yes.
It's kind of that full circle moment. Our first interview tonight, similar situation with Meg, my choreographer, doing Sister Act Junior with me in Queenstown, who was my student and is now back after graduating performing arts school, etc., to choreograph and associate direct with me. So it's a pretty cool feeling when that happens.
Yes, it is. And Acacia is such a wonderful choreographer. And I saw that immediately from when she was 14. And I went along to a school show and saw what she was doing, and it was just, she just had it. And she's got a really good singing voice as well.
Awesome. Well, tell us, Christine, while we're talking to you, where did it all start for you? I'm assuming this has been part of your life all the way?
Yes, it has. I actually started out as a dancer again at four, classical ballet and then tap. Went through to my solo seal, got my teachers in both of that. I fell into singing by accident. and went through and, you know, did my RTCL. I worked with the Auckland City Opera Ballet Workshop, with the Mercury Theatre, with New Zealand Opera. I went to Australia and did my graduate diploma in opera from the Brisbane Conservatorium, and came back to New Zealand, started actually lecturing in business and communication because I have a master's in management studies. But even though I was doing the academic side, I always kept, you know, running, teaching. And also I was heavily involved with the Playhouse Theatre. I used to direct a lot of their children's shows, and I was on the committee, ended up vice president and president, before I then moved out of Auckland for a while, and now I've come back to Auckland, and I thought, no, I just, I don't know, performing is just part of me. I've always done it. And it really is great to see people, and I see my students like Acacia and others. I actually see them performing and succeeding and fulfilling their potential and their love, and it's just wonderful to see that.
Very cool. And I was going to say that your business and management degree and everything must come in very handy, though, when it comes to putting on shows and understanding, you know, it's not just what happens on stage, is it?
No, it isn't. And it needs a really good team behind you and the unspoken heroes. You know, like we've got our tech crew that I met one of them the other day who's going to be, you know, doing the lighting and the sound and actually keeping it running. We've got Atoll, who's our stage manager, who knows what she's definitely know what she's doing. We've had wonderful support from Meg at the Playhouse, at the Pump House, giving us advice as well, and which is really, really great. And I really want to encourage children to see live theatre. With my own sons, from when they were toddlers, I brought them to live theatre. And I think it's essential that love is developed early.
And Lysandra, moving down to you, and I know that we're going to have a similar name coming up shortly with where your journey's been, the same as Acacia. So tell us about your theatre journey and where did it all start for you?
Theatre. Ooh. Actually,
performance. Performance.
Yes. Well, love for music definitely came from the family. As a Filipino, we all love karaoke. So... growing up with the karaoke machine, putting it on every weekend with the family, that's where music came from. And my grandmother, she played guitar, so that got me into playing guitar and loving to sing and play guitar. My first ever play was from primary at St. Dominic's. One of the teachers, Mrs. Sikalski, she made this play, all written herself as well, for the primary, and we'd never done anything like that before. It was the first ever big performing arts thing. And from there, it kind of stemmed off to doing more acting and singing stuff, because that's where acting came from. And then it goes into my first ever musical with someone you may know, Stephen Dallow. we did Hairspray Junior, which was a whole new experience for myself, because it had singing, which I loved. It had acting, which I loved as well, and then also dancing. So three in one. It was really fun. It was a new experience. And from there, I think I knew that musical theater, or just, you know, the arts, was something that I loved doing to this day. Because after that, I kept doing all the musicals, all the St. Peter musicals, and then even outside of high school, doing all the community shows, Dallow Productions, doing Ghost. Doing stuff from MPA, North Shore Center Stage Orewa, and now with Christine doing this show, I Spy. And it's just love getting to work with new people, meeting new people, and just connecting with everyone, because at the end of the day, we're all have that passion for the arts, which is, yeah, that same passion for it. And, yeah, I enjoy every moment of it with the different people I work with or the same people that I work with. Ah, I love musical theatre. I love doing plays. Love it.
Awesome. So, Christine, let's go back to you. Tell us, when is I Spy on? Where can people find out more about it? Maybe where people can do a bit of research. How do people book?
Well, it's on at the Pump House Theatre, and they can actually book through the Pump House Theatre itself. So you just phone 09486 2386 to book tickets. It's on the 30th of September to the 4th of October. So from the 1st to the 4th of October, 1st to the 3rd of October, which is the Wednesday to the Friday, it's 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. performances. And for the Saturday, it is a 1 p.m. and a 6 p.m. performance. And for the Thursday, for the first performance, the Tuesday, which is Pay What You Can, that's a 7 p.m. performance.
Amazing. Now, Acacia, you also wanted to point out that you're having a special relaxed performance for one of the productions.
Yes. So our relaxed performance will be on the Thursday. Basically, it means that people can come in and all of the theatre etiquette and theatre rules and things like that go out the window. So there's obviously still the stand of please don't come onto the stage, please don't go round the back of, you know, near the green room and things like that in the wings. But it allows people who struggle to sit still, who struggle with focusing on things, who need to make noise, move around, come and go as they please. So basically it means that people can get up, move around the theatre, they can talk, they can laugh, they can have their own conversations, they can come and go as they please, whenever they want. The house lights stay on, and the entire show becomes a bit more calm and a bit more relaxed. We tone down a lot of the more intense parts, like with our villain. He becomes a little more relaxed, less loud laugh and more chuckle sort of thing. But yeah, so there's a lot to take away from that kind of performance, and I think it's a good thing to have, especially for people who are neurodivergent, people who you know, have disabilities and have to get up and down all the time. So yeah, Thursday will be the relaxed performance, which should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to that one.
Beautiful. Well, Kick Arts wish you all the best for your season. It's great to see that the Pump House are keeping children's theatre and theatre for young people alive, and filling that gap that was left, of course, by Tim. So all the best for everything, and we look forward to hearing from you and your future endeavours.
And everyone, come to see I Spy, our spy-tastic adventure, and find out what Humpty is up to.
Oh, there's a challenge. Throw that weirdo down. So, Lysandra, we're going to go out with one of your singles. Would you like to introduce that here on Kick Arts?
I'd love to.
But before you do, we need to end the show by, of course, saying don't forget, send us your details about your event, info@kickarts.org.nz. Now go out there and kick some art.
Well, hi, this is Lysandra, and you'll be listening to my latest single called Bribery from Kick Arts.
Hello? Just remember. like my stories. Need permission. Now you're a grown boy, I'll eat your dear mommy. What you looking for? What you looking for? Get out the door.
No, really. What are you doing here?
Forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live same time under the stars.